Let us pray. God of joy and wonder, breathe your spirit upon us. Open our hearts and ears to hear these ancient words and be inspired. Open our minds and our eyes to see our place and your living word today and every day. Amen. Our first reading is from Psalm 100. Listen for God's word. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, and chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I be fruitful?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he says, "Yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 1 second. Gonna scratch that one. Gonna scratch that one. Okay, that one's still new. Why do golfers wear two pairs of pants? In case they get a hole in one! Okay, let's try another one. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Spring was pretty great, too. Okay, last one, I promise. This one's for the tech team, specifically for you guys. Ready? How much do dead batteries cost? Nothing! They're free of charge! You didn't realize you were coming to a comedy act this morning, did you? Angie, you and I could have a thing. Anyway, take a moment this morning and think back to the last time you laughed outside of this morning. And I mean really laughed. I'm talking about the raw, uncontrolled, burst-out belly laughter to the point of tears and a stomach ache that feels like you just did 50 crunches. Can you remember the time? How long ago was it? If you're like me, you may have just come to a startling realization. You may have noticed that we, or at least some of us, are not necessarily laughing as much as we used to. And if there is laughter among a community, it is sometimes a harmful one, born out of fear, competition, and division, a Schadenfreude of sorts that comes at the expense of others. And our lack of pure childlike laughter that we heard this morning in the children's sermon is not for a lack of want. For as the great Donald O'Connor illustrates in one of my favorite musicals, Singing in the Rain, don't you know everyone wants to laugh? The potential for laughter is everywhere. In our lives, in our memories, and yes, even in our faith. And there are all sorts of outlets literally intended to induce laughter. Improv, stand-up, talk shows, sketch comedy, parodies, puns, dark humor, dry wit, sarcasm. There's slapstick and physical comedy too, just to name a few. And humor is broadly seen as so important for human development and connection that even the government has a website that generates random and delightfully cringy dad jokes. If you want the link, email me. So what stops us from laughing? What keeps us from reveling in the emotional and physical benefits from that audible and contagious joy that we all have the potential to experience? The weight of the world has taken its toll. The suffering and injustices we cannot seem to alleviate bear down on our shoulders so that we cannot find lift. The smoke and pollution swirling in our communities cloud our eyes so that what we see is grayness and destruction instead of vibrant life full of color. We spend so much energy on trying to make ends meet in a world full of disparity and practical scarcity that we cannot even fathom laughter. It fades from our daily lives and routines and comes only when we intentionally seek it out, often in the forms of comedy I just mentioned. And I would guess that you notice in your body and in your spirit those times when laughter fades away. The heavier the world feels, the more laughter feels somehow inappropriate. And the more we can't find the energy or the emotions for it. Even in today's scripture, full of references of laughter, certain interpretations condemn Sarah for it, asserting that when she laughs, she is laughing out of arrogance and doubt that she can bear a child in her old age. But even if that was the case, even if she was laughing purely out of doubt, it speaks to not only God's invitation for us to doubt in trying times, it also speaks to the gift of laughter, a gift from God to help us process those confusing, difficult feelings and to withstand difficult situations. Bearing that in mind, it would seem that laughter and tears are two sides of the same coin, two responses to a similar situation, both valid responses, both gifts. In trying times, laughter becomes a balm, a way to break tensions that continue to build within and between ourselves, to release the hold of that which ails you. In a way, laughter is resistance to the things that weigh you down. Oppression, physical limitations, even societal expectations. And laughter is also a way to connect with others, to express pure joy and delight. What our lectionary reading today leaves out of this story, exemplifying God's seemingly impossible possibilities, is that Abraham also laughs. And more often than not, this laughing is interpreted as an act of joy, contrasting common interpretations of Sarah's laughter. Both of them, upon hearing that they will bear a son at the age of 190, laugh, seeing the absurdness of God's grace and amazing works that occur from wild promises. Promises that are followed through. Seeing the joy and delight amidst the weight and the long-lived sorrow of unfulfilled expectation. Laughter steps in, surprising them, and meets them in the paradox of the impossible. The joy amidst the sorrow and the wonder of God's love. In the incomprehensible, laughter finds us. It leads us through the intersection of disbelief and belief, the overlapping space between doubt and hope. And what's more, the laughter shared by Abraham and Sarah becomes contagious, not only in their own time, but passed through generations. Her son literally brought laughter into the world after her. It is spelled out in his name. Isaac means to laugh. We, the people of God, the community of God, descended through the generations, are born, destined to laugh. Laughter doesn't have to take the form of a giant belly laugh. It can be to oneself, as we hear about in the text today. It can come in the form of a chuckle. It can boom through the room. It can be as quiet as a mouse. I'm reminded of one of my favorite laughs from my grandfather. If you ever stood next to him for a picture, you would hear the quietest of laughs coming from him. And it would always make whoever was near him grin just a little bit bigger in that picture. When you asked him why he did this, he said, "Laughing makes the smile in the picture much more genuine. And if it helps others feel a bit of joy too, all the better." May we take a page from his book and continue to experience moments of childlike joy and awe, no matter how small or how marvelous. When you come across a giant empty field, instead of worrying about ticks and Lyme disease, which I am definitely guilty of, take off your shoes, roll in the grass, or do a cartwheel or two. Instead of worrying about who saw you trip up the stairs, chuckle to yourself. Keep moving, knowing that you are definitely not the only one that has done that. Instead of worrying about flight anxiety, fly to the wonders of the world and experience the vast beauty of God's creation, hearing the echoes of song, praise, and laughter in the caves, the canyons, and the oceans. Instead of wondering if you are being judged, let go. Release that belly laugh you have been holding in for far too long because it didn't seem appropriate. Laughter. It's a sign of faith. It's a sign of wonder. It's a sign of connection, and it's a sign of joy in God's presence. As the weight of the world bears down, let us choose and share joy, for mirth is God's medicine. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. When is a door not a door? When it's ajar. Thanks be to God for the levity of joy and the life-giving laughter in both times of light and darkness, even if it comes paired with groans at a silly pun. Amen.